Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is a gospel lesson for today, recorded in Mark chapter 9. We begin reading at verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes were dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Chapter 1. St. Mark sketches out the hero. In the chapters that follow, we read that the opposition and rejection of Jesus begin to increase exponentially. It is not like any other, it's not unlike any other drama. Things don't look all that good for the hero of the story, for the protagonist. What to do? We have 2 choices. We can stop reading because we hope for the best and expect the worst, and we would just rather not spend all that time and end up that way. Or we could turn to the last chapter and see how things turn out. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ is not the last chapter in his ministry, nor is it the last chapter in St. Mark's Gospel. Actually, it's about in the middle. But it does open up for us the door to see how things turn out. And how it turns out is Jesus rises in glory, glory that covers himself, and glory that covers us. And so this morning, look on with wondering eyes. Look on with trusting hearts as Jesus' glory beams out in radiant brilliance. We see, first of all, that it is a glory usually hidden under the veil of flesh. But secondly, we see that it is a glory that is seen without hindrance in his resurrection. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, people saw him pretty much as an ordinary man. In Epiphany, we have seen Jesus as an ordinary man doing pretty extraordinary things, miracles. Turned water into wine. He healed the sick. He caused the lame to get up and walk. He raised the dead. But throughout all these actions, Jesus' divine glory, that is the glory that belongs to him only as the glory that belongs to only God, that glory pretty much remained hidden under the veil of his human flesh. There was nothing, even as Jesus did miracles, about his appearance that would make him stand out in a crowd. About 6 months before his death on the cross that paid the all-sufficient price for your sins and guilt, and for mine, Jesus led the inner circle of the apostles, Peter, James, and John, high onto a mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. What was the disciples' reaction to seeing just a glimpse of Jesus' divine glory? St. Mark sets forth Peter as kind of a example or illustration for all of them. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Would our reactions have been any different? Total depravity, standing in the presence of pure holiness? Imagine these sinful members of our old Adam that we daily use in the service of sin, standing there in the presence of the divine glory, the radiant righteousness and perfection of God. Multiply by infinity that guilt and that fear that you felt as a child standing before your father when he found out that you had done what he told you not to do and promised to punish you if you ever did it. Talk about hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. But wait. There on that mountain with him are Moses and Elijah. And they're alive. They're alive because the glory of God is veiled in the flesh of Jesus Christ, who would take that flesh to the cross. Moses, the lawgiver, is there with Elijah, the prophet, the Old Testament, in the flesh, standing there, alive and well, talking to Jesus Christ about his coming passion. Our God is not a God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Without the cross, without Jesus offering that flesh that for the most part hid his glory, there would be no salvation, no redemption. There would have been no life for Moses or for Elijah or for us. Remember that Moses' body had already been taken by God out of the grave that nobody knows where it is. We heard in our first lesson today that Elijah did not see death, but was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, accompanied by angels, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Before he died on the cross, Jesus, as a true human being, bore all of our weaknesses. And so the Father, his Father, strengthened him in his human flesh for what he had to do, for what he was about to do. And the Father strengthened the disciples for having to watch that. Without the completed action of understanding that we have, the Father strengthened those men so that they could watch their Lord and Savior being betrayed into the hands of his enemies. Peter's suggestion that Jesus just bypassed that whole suffering and death thing, and then he just set up some nice tabernacles right there on that mountain, and that the church could live with Jesus in peace on this earth, was misguided, to say the least, because of his fear as a sinful human being standing in the glory of God. It was nearly time for Jesus to complete his mission. And so the Father gave that strengthening to his Son and to his Son's disciples. This vision of Jesus on this last Sunday of Epiphany is also our strength as we begin the observance of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ on Wednesday evening services. As we again gather in those last days and hours with our Savior, not seeing then His divine glory shining out because it's hidden under the veil of His flesh, flesh that is torn, flesh that bleeds, flesh that is nailed to a cross and dies there for us. Those disciples and we need that strength as we continue to go through this drama, as we begin to wonder how's it going to turn out, what's going to happen to Jesus. It seems as if the devil won. It seems as if Satan has defeated Jesus in his death. But no, Jesus now shines out that divine glory that is seen without hindrance in his resurrection from the dead. Parents, when we are proud of our children, we want others to meet them, don't we? I remember several years ago, I was at a Board for Ministerial Education meeting in Milwaukee, and I went out for dinner with my older son and his wife. And after we finished dinner, we went to another restaurant where the rest of the BME had gone to have supper and had remained around after for some fellowship. And we went in, and I introduced Nathan and Amanda to the other members of the board because I'm proud of them, and I'm proud of their career. The Heavenly Father is proud of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's proud of His career. He's proud and glad that His Son willingly went into the world and fulfilled His ministry and mission to be our Savior from sin. The Heavenly Father wants to introduce His Son to us. He wants to tell us what His Son did for us, redeemed us, saved us, took our place under His wrath and punishment. God the Father loves Jesus Christ, His Son, with that unique divine love that exists only among the persons of the Trinity. He is proud of the faithful work His Son did in the flesh. The Father said, "This is my Son," introducing us to Him. "With Him I am well pleased," because He is faithful, He is truthful, and I accept the work that He did for the whole world for you, so that you are forgiven and have a place reserved for you in heaven. The Father knew that He could count on His Son, because His Son speaks only to the truth. And so we must listen only to the Son to hear that saving truth. It does us no good to listen to the lies of the devil. It does us no good to seek out or listen to any Savior other than the one the Father introduces to us as His Son, in whom He is well pleased. What do we have here? We got Moses, the law. We got Elijah, the prophet. And now we have Jesus, the gospel. We have the all, whole, entire essence of Scripture standing right in front of us. Living together in that fellowship of the church that God took us into through our baptisms. We are to listen to the words of Jesus, words like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Words like, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus, who said, you continue in my word, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The Apostle John wrote of Jesus, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cross is what reveals Jesus' glory hidden under his flesh. His empty tomb, his resurrection, is what reveals his glory as the exalted Son of God and our Savior. Now, Jesus' disciples saw that flesh after Jesus' resurrection. But now that flesh was glorified. It was no longer subject to time or to space or to weakness. No longer subject to temptation. No longer under the burden of the guilt and power of our sins. Jesus had left all of those things in the grave and had risen from the dead in his full glory as God and man. We see Jesus glorified in the flesh through his word as we await the day when he will also glorify our flesh, either by raising us from the dead or changing us in an instant at the sound of the last trumpet. We were not there with Peter, James, and John on that mountain, but we do have Peter's inspired affidavit. Peter writes in his second epistle his account of what happened that day. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. As we prepare to observe Lent on this Transfiguration Sunday, the Father gives us a look and introduces us to the radiant glory of his Son we'll see on Easter Sunday, the glory that lasts an eternity. And so, keep reading. Look on with wondering eyes and trusting heart, and say with Peter, Lord, good for us to be here. Amen.